sure. And I'll try to be quick about this. So this capital improvement list, from what I understand, I've never done one of these, but apparently Karen's trying to get some money through a grant, and it's not to do a grant and a loan, depending on if they'll say, hey, you have too much money. But they want to know what your capital projects are for, and we're doing short-term goals of 2026 to 29. So we're trying to tell them this is what our town's trying to do. We've got these capital projects set up, and we have these. If you look across just really quick, again, we have our, if you look at the projects, and you say this whole project cost, local cash matches what we found spending. In-kind match would be like any donations or anything the town's going to do. CIB loans, we have any of those. Oh, sorry, CIB loan or grants are the ones that Karen's.
These are the ones we're hoping they'll give it to us. CDBG is another type of grant, and other or any other type of grants. And then project completion date is when we hope to have it done by. And CIB submission date, again, is going back to that type of grant we're hoping for. We hope to submit these to them on October 1st, 2026. So yeah, I'm going through them quickly. If you have any questions about them, just let me know. And we'll start with the first one. 100 West Improvements, and so this is an intersection that we hope to have done, from what I understand. Total project cost was $135. We plan on doing $18,000 from our BNC funds, and the rest is going to come from a grant called CDBG grant. Stop me on any of these if you have questions. The 500,000-gallon water tank, we've really done that. It was $1.7 million, more or less. Came out of our impact piece and our water enterprise fund. It's really done for the most part. I just wanted to leave it on here because we still have a couple more payments to give them. So the project completion date is September 30th of this year. I mean, two more payments, hopefully, maybe one. I don't know. We keep opening the last payment. The county's got this. SCADA water tank, for water tank. Marcus wants to comment on any of these. For our water tank, we need a SCADA system. We're projecting that be $16,000 coming out of our water impact fees. Project completion date, again, so just coming from our impact fees, June 30th of 2027. Gas generator for main well, $120,000. This is what we're doing this for, this capital improvement list. We hope to get a CIB grant for 55% of it, and we're hoping to get Bear River Water Conservatory grant for $54,000. We don't know if we're going to get that for sure, but Mark's going to be meeting with them in a couple months, and we're hoping they can pay for 45% of it. And we're project completion date would probably be middle of 2027, and we're doing a submission. This is why we're submitting this on October 1st, 2026. We do hope that they can help us out, the CID. Manaway Main Street, we've been seeing this for years. Matt's been on here longer than you guys, and he knows what I'm talking about. But we do hope that Manaway Main Street really going forward. Me and the mayor are working with the guy, which we don't know his name, the new one.
Danilo.
What?
Danilo.
Yeah, we're hoping to work with him. I do got to get that submitted to make that. That's spicy.
Which, by the way, I think we have a, we're going to open up for bids on this month?
Yeah, October.
October?
October, yeah. Okay. Well, we definitely want to do that because our goal is to start in the spring. And if you look, we plan on paying $476,000 of it through impact fees, finish off our ARPA grant, which is going to be money out of our pocket, and the corridor fund. And then the rest will be coming out of that $1.374 million grant. And we hope to have that done. Not this fiscal year. I think I meant to maybe June 30th or 28th. I don't know. Maybe we won't have anybody in this fiscal year, 27th.
Who's running that proposal? Is that coming through Chris White? Or?
Well, Chris White is working with
Marcus.
Marcus.
Okay. We kind of have that done by the end of this fiscal year.
What was that?
The main street.
So the bids go out in October. The project could start probably, you know, how this keeps going, but most likely say February or March this coming year, whenever the snow resides and the spring gets going, we'll start preliminary work on that, get that going right there.
So it's gotta start in the spring, from what I understand, but probably the next fiscal year?
Yeah, it doesn't take that long to do it.
Okay. We gotta leave it on there as it is. Water meter for South Tank, It's a small thing, but it is capital improvement, $35K from out of our Pioneer Water Enterprise Fund. That should be that's going to be impact fees, and that's not an imperative thing. So we left it for June 30th in 2028. Cemetery expansion, new map and stand. So that expansion is coming to a grant. The new map is particularly, but we're projecting $33K. $24,000 coming out of the general fund, general slash cemetery funds, and we get $9,000 from a grant, which Henry and Shreya have been awesome to do that on, and we project that have to be completed by the end of fiscal year 28. Going farther down, this one's a combination of building the public works, police department building, and upgrading the fire department, which we can include probably as capital projects for calling it system improvement for growth. As we continue to grow as a town. So, $18,000 will be coming out of the roll funds, but the rest is coming out, and this is another, this is the CIB grant she's applying for. She might not be able to get all the grants, I don't think she will, but she applies for some of it, the rest can make you put into a loan. So it might be, I don't know how much we put all in her grant. If you look, she's optimistic to have it done in June of 2027. So she's hoping it can, fiscal year 27, and the submission date we're submitting to them on October 26th. So I just thought like it was because the camera was telling me. Pressure reducing station, I'm not sure what that is, but Marcus told me it was $45K coming out of the water enterprise or water bank account. Fiscal year 28. When they're not imperative and they're not immediate, but we still need to do them, we put them back to either fiscal year 28 or 29. This HDPE pipeline. We do have to use our sewer impact fees, and it's something that's not like, it does need to be done probably eventually, and it's something for our county to continue to grow it, so we are putting in an HDPE pipeline, and that will help our sewer impact fees that we need to use, and something that as town growth needs to be done. So we're projecting that to start and eventually be done by fiscal year 29. Just have a couple more down here, something
that Mark, is this the place that exists in
sewer line right down here. It's an old water line, it's galvanized, and it's okay that it's egg shaped like this. So it's not
wrong. But yeah, you're just replacing it with the
Chris,
it goes from this manhole here down to the bridge or
it's not a way.
Okay. Usually you can't use them for something like that, but it was considered Chris White and to get some for growth, system for growth. So modification of Ripley City emergency water connection. Mark is actually talking today about the price gap. $400K in our water enterprise and impact fees.
Is this the one that Chris White and you, the one that Jeff sent Richard?
Talked
to us about?
More or less, yeah. It's that the one that your husband had started down there.
It's that one.
We met down there. We actually activated it and we got it. We went through it all with Brenda Public Works. We put some chlorine in. It's a lot more complicated than
wouldn't it be cheaper to do the other?
Run a new line down?
Yeah, your dad had proposed to take it from like the up by Prison Acres across where that's going into the main line.
Birch Creek up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated there. That spring's right now is only running at about 40 gallons a minute. If we put 40 gallons a minute into our system, that's really not going to do much.
No, but that's our spring. We can tie into Brigham Springs up there, and it'll run more than they can handle.
Birch Creek, not Brigham Hollow or Dunn's Hollow, but Birch Creek.
Yeah, it was Brigham.
That's the one that backs up into those two houses up there that have PRD and backs up into it.
Uh-huh.
But right now, it's flowing at 40 gallons a minute. That has been on it. I mean, it's just that particular system is not hooked up to the wells either, and it doesn't have a chlorinator.
So you're saying that's going to be more expensive than this other?
Yeah, if you look at the plans, I actually gave you the plans there for Chris. It breaks all the things in yellow are everything that you have to know. And then it talks about the building. And the mayor's the only one that has that specific plan there. But, there's a lot of tail to it. We've got to get it into their well, which their wells don't always operate. They operate very little, and they are producing sand. It dropped quite a bit. subject. To be honest with you, I think getting a generator is a lot less money and higher priority.
I think, and I don't disagree. We do need that generator sooner rather than later. This was supposed to be just a, even with the generator, extra water coming through, we already had that hookup. I mean, originally it was we already had that hookup from the grant when my husband was the mayor, utilizing that. But my understanding, you had mentioned something like $90,000 for that to get that working. But it shows here
$400,000. Chris submitted bids and on the buildings and everything about 9 years ago. So if you take in inflation and then also we looked at it, he forgot to be in the building, we're in the coordinator. All the rest of it was in there except those two things. So building the coordinator and also another PRP. And also to mention, the whole thing isn't even tied into those two wells down there. It's only tied into that spring that's producing 50 gallons a minute. In the winter, it might be 100. They say it maxes out at about 85. They can barely keep water pressure up to those two houses past the water tank. So we need to tie into their well.
So I thought down there by their well, there's some valves down there that we can turn to backfill our tanks. And that used to work. What does it take to get that running again?
It's working. That's all working, but the thing is it's only 50 gallons a minute, which 50 gallons a minute just isn't.
That doesn't come out of their wells? Their valves are right there by their wells.
Springs. The spring line comes down at a ridge. It's called Ridge Creek.
Interesting.
First Creek, sorry. It comes down to the springs, the grass ground comes down by the A-frame. Right now supplies two houses up there, and that's it. And they can barely keep pressure up to those. So what would happen is we need to get a booster pump and then tie into the well, the transmission line of those wells, which hasn't been done yet.
Okay.
And then we'll need a VRP coordinator for building and the valve system.
Well, and we're not going to dig into, we're going off topic here.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Ron.
Main Sheet Park Restoration, this is some things Karen wants to do, and Miller's working on that park, and she's hoping to get a UARC grant, like she's doing, and with that, we'd have to pay $66,500 out of our parking lot fees. The local would be, I'm assuming that's the local, it would be mainly people volunteering and helping, kind of like they did over there on Maple Springs Park. And then that would be $200K from the grant. And I put the closing date down that was September 30th, 2028, because she doesn't know when she's going to get the grant for sure. And then build a new well. The recase in the well, I don't, from what I understand, might be the most beneficial to either recase or build. So, while there's not the greatest thing around here in Utah right now, especially up in the north, she thought of building a new well is probably pretty vital, and that's 1.3 million coming out of water and supplies and impact fees between the 2000 fiscal year and fiscal year 29. Does anybody have any questions or they want to add or anything to improve this or change it?
I just wish that well we had in our plan sooner than that. I don't know how to do that.
Before 2029. You could.
The thing that scares me the most about that is we had that issue with the well during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
If that had happened in the summertime, we would have been in a world of hurt.
Yeah,
it wouldn't matter if we had a generator. So, this is one I lose sleep over.
It's that, and then what I was talking to him about is what is our plan B hooking up to Brigham?
Right. But it doesn't sound, if we're going to go spend $400,000 hook up to Brigham, we just will.
You have the money, so it didn't come out saying no. But the thing is, just what priorities you want first. I just put that in there.
Yeah.
The question is how quick you want to, you drain it and you lose less interest. Income coming off your bank accounts, but you definitely have the money to put it in there, and then you recover it later, or.
But keep in mind too, the purpose of what we're trying to discuss here, and I agree with all this other stuff, would be a separate meeting that we needed to bring up all of this at.
Yeah.
this particular purpose of what we're trying to do, this is a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the plan, as with every other plan, is, yeah, we have a direction of which we're going, but can it be, can it change? And it will. It will change.
Yeah.
And so knowing with what we know right now at this point in time, this is what we have, we can approve this as it is, we can, you know, again, change and modify it as needed, but in order for us to move forward with the grant, we would need to approve the plan that has already been, we've gone through it with the Cassie, we went through it now, the same type of information came through on this CIP. What we're doing is approving this so that we can move forward with the...
Yeah, I think we're going to be off topic, so no, I just can't follow it.
No, that's okay, because it's easy to do.
So one of the things we can look at, too, is we've increased our rates. We know there's going to generate some revenue that we can bank. That helps us establish the position to get a loan if we want to, Matt, and look at moving forward faster, getting a lower interest rate loan with the money we have put away and, you know, going at it that way. Instead of 2019, it might be 2027 or late 2027, something like that. So what we ought to do is see how we're a little bit late in the year, but we're going to see what we'll get going into next year and where we stand with our plan, and then we can make a proposal on how we want to go about that. So I think it's good thinking, sooner than later, for sure.
So what we're proposing here, we need a motion to and to approve, is this current CIP plan for, again, what it is at this point in time, so that we can move forward with the grant.
I'll make a motion that we approve the CIP capital plan that we discussed in the council meeting today.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. No nays? Does Cheryl come in? Okay. And next on the agenda, motion passes. Next on the agenda is Marcus with the hydrant flushing and valve exercising tool purchase. Thanks, Ron.
Yep.
So as you recall, we had a whole bunch of 7 or 8 broken valves in town. We got brand new fish, we had to do whatever we did. We've also got lots of fire hydrants that are not working correctly, or at least not the best that they could. This little tool right here will take care of that. This is something that will last a long time. I found out it was for the valves, and I found out fire hydrants as well. What it does is it exercises them and puts a certain amount of torque on it and shuts it off, goes back and forth, and you can just turn it on like this so your fire hydrants and it exercises the valve. You fill the grease in there. We've been going through our fire hydrants to try to get them things fixed. We've only got a couple of camper, a few camper caps off, but other than that, they're essentially working on. Fire hydrants are the most expensive thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen something like that where a rubber gasket like this is $700. It is very true with fire hydrants because they're not the like blockers and the cloud they have to get out with those things. So this thing is just a like, big battery powered torque wrench. The one that I want that is here, I'll tell you about it in a minute, it actually has a stand that you can sit on. If it's someone you have to turn really hard of everything you got, or it takes two guys with this thing, it's a lot easier. A lot faster. We can get this done. We got to do this a lot more than what we're doing it. Exercising these hydrants and exercising these valves. And I'm going to be honest with you, the previous years that I was here, we never even did it once. So we are doing it a lot. We're doing it constantly. If you look at these bids here, I went through a whole bunch of different bids. I was interested in HydroVerge. If you look at the top two that are there, I've got a little connection. And the connection on the mountain name with the number of 5,452.59. You'll notice that right there, written down on the bottom. He's going to give us these parts for free. That's the hydrants and the valve torque set. So he's going to give us both those items, and you can see that they're worth, $500, $600 or whatever. So that's the this deal. If you go through the numbers, the thing's great, it'll last forever, and I think it's very important. We've got to have this thing. But it's just, we need it. All the other towns have it. And it's going to save us thousands and thousands of dollars in the future. I've gotten bids and quotes from the manufacturer who said, do it. Has a specific part that counts the revolutions and counts the torque, and that's why the things are pretty expensive. There's kind of a monopoly on that thing, so there should be four different manufacturers. The two are both mountain land, but they're a little bit different. But they're the same, you know, sort of, but there's some differences in price, what have you. That is a tremendous deal. And the one from the U.S. Saw, or whatever it is, that one is the exact same one. It's over $6,000. And this one's $5,245 with everything. And I'm hoping that we can get it. It's in the budget.
Why are the mountain land quotes
different? The one is without the good deal that I got. It's from a different salesperson. You can see there's a different name on it. And if you look at the other one, I got a connection over there, and he gave us a really good deal.
So they just outfit themselves.
So you got a good deal.
You just need to know the right people.
I know the right people, and we got a great discount. This guy helps us out a lot.
Okay.
This thing will just come in handy for the next 20 years for the fire department and for the public works.
And battery doesn't run for
It's not the Milwaukee battery, but it's very similar. It's got its own unique battery. Mm-hmm. That was something I looked into. They use those batteries on a lot of really big, super like saw cutters, concrete cutters, stuff like that. It's a great big battery, and they'll keep making it for a long time.
What's the price of a battery? How long does that last?
Well, it comes with two batteries. There's also going to throw a battery in there, and a natural battery, by the way. Battery lasts a long time. It also has an AC connection to it, so if you can hook it up to your converter on your truck, your inverter, or your generator, or even an AC power outlet, you can get it for it as well.
How often does it exercise the valves? Do you set a time, or?
We need to get on a rotation. It would take us it would take us 2 weeks, 3 weeks with Eric and I just hitting it hard every day exercising these things. It's not. Had every valve in town, every wire router. There's some work that needs to be done in this thing. It's helped us a lot. It'll do it real quick, real fast, and it gives you the torque that it is, and goes back and forth. It's just a lot better than we could do it manually, but it takes the guys on some of them, and it's just awkward.
Well, I think that's why the fire hydrants haven't been exercised or anything.
Yeah,
I do recall the fact that those. Ever so grateful that you've been working on those fire hydrants because, as I said before, I don't want to end up being like Los Angeles.
Was this something that was in our budget? Sorry, we are. Was this something that was in our budget, Mark? Okay, so we can cover it in our budget.
Okay. That was my next question, make sure, Ron.
It's easily covered, Ron, and I thought.
Okay.
What's the recommendation on how often to exercise a fire hydrant?
Yeah. Fire hydrants? I'm telling you, I've seen it for years and years and years and years, but we've done it.
It's got to be a recommendation.
Eric and I have exercised all of our records in town at least 5 times in the last 3 years.
But does the manufacturer have a recommendation to say?
Every 6 months is what, as I recall, at least every year, but I think it's every 6 months.
Okay.
And as often as possible. I mean, it's not going to hurt. I think they're expensive.
Oh yeah, we tried to hook up to one the other day and we broke the wrench and it turns.
Yeah, I think the volunteers have been hanging the caps on forever and then you can't torch them off, can't hook them off, but for the most part we can get at least one cap off on. But that's something we're going through right now. We're still just one of those caps, like so expensive.
So it says hydrant operating valves annually. Flushed at least annually, auxiliary isolation gate valves every 1 to 2 years. Extreme environments, in extreme environments, semi-annually. Best practices, full cycle, always open the valve completely, then back off, fourth to a half turn. That doesn't say under there, so.
So that's what this tool will do. You'll hook up to the top of a hydrant, and it's going to open it all the way up, water's going to come out, and then it's going to close it all the way down. That's what this does.
Spin it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Does it open it all the way up?
It opens up to a certain torque and then it shuts down because it won't strip it out. So it'll turn it all the way and then back out. Then, of course, we'll have to turn it back and forth or turn it when we're done. But yeah, that's it right there. The one in the middle, but we're getting that one in the middle for 52.45.
Oh gosh.
There we go. That's it. They actually came over and gave us a demonstration. It was amazing.
Oh, we're getting that one for 50.
52.
Yep. With all everything. And that includes the, that one doesn't even have the item part on it. We're getting that one for 52. Hmm. I would suggest it.
Okay. Someone want to make a motion to approve the, and this would be specifically Mountain Land Supply Company, for a total of $5,452.59 for the fire hydrant valve.
I'll make a motion to approve the hydrant flushing and valve exercise tool purchase from Mountain Land Supply Company, bid S10800-7288 for the amount of $5,452.49.
59.
You're off, huh? 59 cents.
Mine says 49.
Mine says
59. 59 cents.
49 cents.
Who's okay. 49?
Doesn't it?
What does it say?
I can't see that. They're probably
all
Let me state the amount again. For the amount of $5,452.59.
Second? Anybody? Second. All in favor?
Yes.
No nays? Motion passes. Thank you. All right.
He set me up.
How soon can you have it? How soon can you have it?
Okay. You go. Yeah, we need the ordinance review. Or excuse me, the what ordinance review am I doing?
You wanted to have.
Oh, I was just going to bring that up. Okay, never mind. Now I know what it is. All right, discussion items. Discussion items on ordinance review. We've got two issues here, one of which we addressed. We have to wait for the rest of them to get together with us. All right, next on the agenda is the discussion items having to do with the ordinance review, employee handbook, establishing electronic meetings. Anyway, we'll go through the rest of these. But on the ordinance review, it's been brought to my attention that we are in dire need of reviewing our ordinances. Since our ordinances are really the town guardrails, I'm going to say, for how we operate and adhere to some of those guardrails. I hate the rule laws, wording, I'll call it guardrails, that they need desperate attention. We decided in our last town council that we would go through the employee handbook 5 pages at a time, and wondering if we want to do the same thing with the ordinance review and have a stipulation on reviewing ordinances on a consistent basis. Thoughts?
Who is reviewing the ordinances?
That would be us. Because ultimately it ends up in our laps. And there are some ordinances that probably should be thrown out. There's some ordinances that need to be completely rewritten because you can't really legally...
They're not in line with state code.
Right.
Your first one would be the nuisance ordinance. It's not in line with state code.
Yeah, there's several that are not.
Yeah.
I think it's an element.
It is a huge element.
We're going to have to...
So do we want to start taking small bites?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what what we're saying here is that we would take small bites during town council.
So in town council, we're going to review the ordinances and find a discrepancies that we need fixed, or what was the review going to tell us? Enlighten us and then give us knowledge, or find problems?
It could be both.
Find problems that need to be fixed?
Yeah.
It's my perception, which could be wrong, that the land use, well, you're talking all ordinances, not just land use ordinances, mm-hmm. I guess, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, where do you want to start on just the beginning, or
start from the very beginning?
I would do, like we're doing the employee handbook, the first, whatever that first one is. Mm-hmm. I know some people have said, well, let's go with the ones that are the highest priority, the ones that are the, you know, people are mm-hmm. screaming about the most. I don't know. Number one, do we want to do this?
Do we see the need to do this? And if we do see the need to do this, is there a way we want to approach it that it's bite-sized pieces?
I can tell you that I helped a little bit, like volunteering on that, and it's intense. It's more intense than you realize. Because once you start looking at the ordinance, then you have to research what is allowed in state code.
Well, my question here is, can AI help us?
I think it can kind of help with the research, but in the end, you have to look at the state code, but then it's helpful to look at other towns and what ordinances that they have done as well, just to kind of give you a feel for what other people have done. So it takes more research than you realize of making sure that it is actually where it's supposed to be. I think I like the idea of us doing it. It gets a little cumbersome if we have volunteers doing it, because in the end, anything volunteers do have to come back to us anyway. And I think that was part of the problem, doing it with volunteers that way. So I like the idea of are you talking five in a month?
Mm-hmm. Either five ordinances a month, or four ordinances, or three, what is, I don't even know how many we have total.
It took us 8 months to do the golf cart.
Yeah, well, I could tell you stories as to why.
And that was easy. It should have been easy.
We want to take one, how many of them are there? Can we do one a month?
You have many ordinances in it.
Lots.
You have tons, hundreds.
I wonder if, five, but like if we each take one and do the research and come back, and I don't know. I could tell you stories about why it took that long, but it's a different day. And I do think the only way it's going to get done is little by little, right? Mm-hmm. It's the only way it's going to get done, and it needs to get done, because we do have a lot of outdated ordinances, and we have ordinances that are not in line. So it needs to happen.
Do we want to take five? I mean, do we want to take five and each one come prepared to speak to their one at town council?
So we could certainly do that, but we're all going to have our own opinion. That's the problem when it comes to order. Because if it's as simple as just whatever the state law says, we can just use the state law. We don't need an ordinance to enforce a state law. The reason you have an ordinance is because you want an exception to it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe something a little more strict than the state law. That's why you have ordinances outside the state. And everybody has their own opinion on. Mm-hmm.
And I know from Seth's perspective, he said that could be very expensive to go through him for all of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the state code basically gives you a foundation. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the state code, when it applies to any ordinances, it gives you the foundation, but it gives the towns enough leeway to make it what they need it. With like, this is what you have to do, now this is what you are, go and do what is best for your town.
Well, the other part is from a legal perspective, do they stand up to any legal attempts to
Well, some of them do, some of them don't. That's the problem. right? There's some of the ordinances that are not going to be criminal, right? There's a lot of different steps that are going to be more just handling with the town, like, hey, clean this up, like, you know, if we've got a yard that is, there's all these different steps that's way before any kind of criminal proceedings. Mm-hmm. The ones that we start hitting a Class C and a Class B, those are like after all of the other attempts from the town, right? That is where it gets tricky for law enforcement and for, say, Seth, to enforce if it's something that is not in line with state code, and we do have some that are like that. Could I pinpoint to them now? No, but I know a few years ago when I was working on it, it was like, we've got enough that would be difficult for Seth to prosecute.
The approach that I would suggest we think about is, my experience where I've been is to address something when there's a problem, right? When you see that there's an ordinance that's not right or funny, we attack that problem. So when we get an ordinance complaint, we should look at those primarily first. If we go and just read down through them, we're going to get glossy-eyed. We're going to get, like Matt said, we're going to have different opinions. We're just going to get stuck in the mud. But when someone comes up and says, hey, I got a problem with XYZ, and we need to challenge the ordinance and consider something different, that's when we should dive in and put our teeth on it and do something about it. And not just spend time reading ordinances and saying, yep, that looks good, and get lost in that, what I'm going to call minutia. So.
Do we have any right now that that's the issue?
Yeah, so our employees would be the first line of complaints, right? This mm-hmm. ordinance stinks with the dog license or the ATVs or the golf or whatever it is. And they could make a record of that, and then we could review those complaints and say, what does the ordinance say? Is the ordinance fair? Is it what we want it to be? Is it just in the complaint, or is the complaint just someone who doesn't like the ordinance?
Are we getting any complaints? I haven't heard any complaints about ordinances. I don't know if we're getting complaints or...
We've got a whole spreadsheet below. They're basically all resolved. You just do a soft approach with them. There's really no need to go hold a gun in their face or anything when they have a problem.
I want to talk about bad ordinances.
Oh, yeah, bad ordinances. Yeah, with that, there's a lot of problems with that, too.
What are the residents complaining? What ordinances are they complaining about?
Well, you got problems with the weeds. Who's going to enforce that? Is that going to be civil, and where do we go, and how do we approach that? And you can't let someone go here, and you can't let someone go there. You also got problems with fences. What really is a fence? A fence is a wall. You got bricks. You got, you know.
But is that are people complaining about that? Are residents complaining about that? Or are these things we're seeing that we're...
Things we're seeing, but there are a lot of residents complaining about the weeds, complaining about trash.
So it sounds like what Marcus is saying is not that the ordinance is bad, but we're not willing to enforce the ordinance, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot of ordinances that you would be hard to have said actually in the ban.
Now, I've heard that's a good statement, because I've heard some ordinances don't have any ramifications to them. They just state mm-hmm. something, right? There's no fees, there's mm-hmm. no penalties, there's no, you know, action associated with the violation of the ordinance, and that would be something we could read through and find, hey, this is blank, it's empty, it just states something, but it doesn't give any consequence, right, to violating that ordinance, right? So that would be a time better spent than just, is the ordinance good or bad, right?
There's a lot of missing authority statements which go along with those authority statements where you have that power to enforce those. Clarify that, you make it right there, basic for everybody to understand. The penalties, a lot of those are lacking. We have things like driveways, people are just, you know, they're not getting permits, they're not getting education, a lot of things like that. They can build a driveway right now on Main Street and find out about it tomorrow.
But we have ordinances against that.
Kind of.
Most of
it,
yeah.
You know, the water land or land use code
yeah.
says you can't do
yeah.
that. So that's different than having a bad ordinance compared to them not following them.
That's right.
That's different than not having it.
Correct.
That's
for,
right.
For example, like in a noise ordinance, a lot of noise ordinances will have like certain decibels. Well, if we don't have something that will monitor and can check what the decibel level is, like how are we going to enforce that? So I don't know if that's still there, but that was something that we looked at for the noise ordinance where I'm like, so are we going to invest in all this equipment to go around and check everybody's noise level?
Well, the same thing is like the parking, you can't enforce the parking ordinance. Mm-hmm. It's not enforceable.
Yeah.
The nuisance ordinance, you got to keep people from mm-hmm. complaining about the smell. And then you get the argument about a smell to one person may not be a nuisance to another, it might be. Yeah. So there's nothing we can do about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you put that in an ordinance to say that's, you know.
I don't know if anything has elevated to what you're saying, Scott.
That's what I'm saying. So sometimes people just complain because, hey, the cows smell, right, or whatever, right? And sometimes the complaint is, yeah, I'm a little worried these weeds are going to catch fire, and it's a problem. Okay, that's a different level, right?
Well, and that falls into the CCW stuff for the what we were going to have the hearing on. So that's a whole different animal, but I don't.
But back to my comment, right? Is the ordinance bad, or is it just, you know, is it just people complaining? And that's what we need to see. What is the complaint? What's the root of it? And that I don't mind looking at the complaint and saying, oh, let's read the ordinance and let's find out if it needs to be adjusted, right? If there's something there. But just to read the ordinances to say they're good or bad, I think that's just a lot of minutiae. So it's a lot of time spent. We're not going to get any substantial changes and improvements from my perspective.
What do you guys think? You good with if it elevates to a resident wanting to really pursue this, then we review the ordinance?
I think that's certainly a good act. My concern is that do we have ordinances that are illegal that could get us in trouble as a town because they're not in compliance?
Well, we would know that. So if someone complained and wanted to pursue it, at that point that would come in front of the town council to then determine if we need to modify or change that ordinance.
But is it too late at that point?
I don't know.
Yeah. So I agree. We certainly need to address the ones that are.
Do we look at the ones that are getting violated?
Yeah, just go through the
ones that he's got a spreadsheet on where it's like these are the issues we've had this month. So maybe these are the ordinances that we need to look at and see if they're up to where we need them to be. Do we go off of the violations?
Well, and Matt, you make a good question, but I want to come back to Matt's comment. You know, as far as getting us in trouble, you know, I don't know if that's going to get us in trouble or not. I don't think any of us sitting here can, but the attorney should be able to say, hey, this is something that you better take a look at. Now, he's not going to rewrite it for us. We have to come up with something that's going to, you know, make sense. Mm-hmm. But for getting us out of trouble, I think our attorney has to help us understand where we're legally, you know, reasonable or not reasonable based upon any law that we might be pushing against in the state situation, right?
But if we turn that over to him, we're looking at a hefty.
Yeah, and again, I don't know. I mean, looking at each of those ordinances and wondering how that pushes against some other issue. I sit here today, 7 months into this, you know, and think previous council should, you know, and maybe that's naive of me to expect them to have done that, you know, due diligence in the past. But if we have some issues that are, you know, confusing or the ordinance isn't clear, we should fix those. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, the ordinance says the mailbox has to be X high and so, then I just think reading through that's going to be like, you know, unessential.
So, Dakota sent out the nuisance and animal ordinances last month. I was like going through it, marking it up, finding things that aren't, we don't have service animals in there, we have impound fees in there, anything like that. And so the comments that everybody's been making is kind of what I was experiencing going through this. And I'm going to find things that somebody else probably thinks, oh, it's okay, let's curb it and stuff. But to me, there are opportunities. I don't know how you flush out which ones we should be. Personnel. I'm looking through this, I can see some whole thing. It's back to Cheryl's comment about are we complying with state laws that changed, or we need to add more to this?
Okay. Well, I know I brought this up as a discussion point. I think we've had a good discussion on it. I feel like we're going down a circle hole,
mm-hmm.
and we're not getting anywhere with it.
Well, that's what I mean back to how do we establish which ones that we as a council maybe should take.
I actually like Scott's idea the best. This is my opinion. those, if it bubbles up to having to, you know, come, that somebody's really adamant about that ordinance, then we look at it.
And that person may be also an employee.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if we feel like we're going to need to, someone says, hey, you're not enforcing this ordinance, and we read it and go, well, that's kind of ridiculous. That's a complaint in the other direction, right? Mm-hmm. Someone saying we need to enforce something, and we go, wow, but is that what we really want to do, or do we need to adjust that, right? Yeah. So I think as they come up, we need to attack them exponentially, right, and address them. Yeah. So
I think one of the things that I know that we need to look at, or it's basically the consequences, of like what you can actually do as a consequence, where I think some of the things that are on our ordinances are actually worse than what the state law is saying that you can't do. That's what I saw the most when I looked at it a few years ago. So I think that's where we need to make sure that we're not getting into trouble, is that our punishment isn't more than what the state law says it can do.
Okay. So, but yeah, and we'll look at that like when and if that comes to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I do like Scott said, you know, just when they come up, when we're having issues that month on.
All right.
And that's how it was handled again the previous council. I mean, certainly the dog license caused a big issue years ago. There was lots of complaints about the golf carts driving around and who was driving them. So it's kind of how the council did, and that's what we had the ordinance committee try to address those ones that were coming up, but. Everybody has so many opinions on what it should say and who should drive and should they wear helmets or seat belts or it was a nightmare. So I agree, we ought to address the ones that are a problem or rather than complaining about or have questions.
I always say the first line of defense is whoever's complaining to find out whether or not they've tried to address it themselves.
Yeah.
And then if they claim they have, then we go to the next level.
I mean, people still have to follow the state law either way. So like Matt said, it's just making it more stringent, the ordinances that we have. So,
okay.
If you're in trouble or anything.
All right, handbook, 5 quick pages. They're really quick because it's the preface. It's the, we need to change probably the mayor at the time on that, which was Mike Johnson, I think. So if you just look at the first 5 pages, which is based off of our discussion last time, I think the one thing that I noticed that we do need to change, and we're not going to go through 5 what are they called?
Sections.
We're just going to do the first 5 pages.
Where do we find that?
So
I sent it to you.
It's on the shared drive. But if you go up to the top, again, this being very going through this. Last time it was approved was 2008, so we'll probably need to change that at some point as we go through this piece by piece. Actually, 2023, it looks like.
Well, technically, they never actually discussed this in a council meeting, so it's just dates that someone put on there.
Oh, okay. So we can change all that then, right? Okay. So last time, I would just say revise. If we do revise this, we can update that. But supersedes all personal policies and procedures. Down below is we need to update the mayor on that. And I don't know if you guys have gone through the preface. I'm really not thinking we need to change that. And again, the only thing I think we need to change on this would be the mayor, which was at that time Mike Johnson.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah. And that really takes us to the 5 pages.
Yeah.
Gets us starting to delve into this a little bit more.
So we did update this to show Mike Johnson.
No, we need to update it to say me.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So you just want us to change this part right here?
That's the only thing I could see needed to be changed. If you guys looked through this at all with just the preface for the 5 pages,
okay.
You guys could just change it now? Okay. Then we'll delve into the next 5 pages. Again, our bite-sized pieces of this elephant. All right. One of the things that we, going on to the establishing electronic meetings, one of the things that we've discussed and have brought up multiple times has been the use of Zoom and using this for public meetings. I have been noticing since that conversation that we decided we were not going to use Zoom was that there are many towns, including Brigham, that does use Zoom and does also use, in conjunction with Zoom, what's the other one? Not YouTube.
Google
Meet. No, is it YouTube?
It's YouTube.
It's YouTube, sorry. They use it in conjunction with YouTube so that they have a record that's stored somewhere from those meetings. There is no ability for, it'd be like a webinar, basically. So what I asked Sharita to do was to, right here, these are two what they call owls. The court has them, and they have said that we can use them, and they will follow whoever's speaking in the room. So that would mean that if somebody was going to address the council, they would have to sit in a particular area with the microphone for that owl to pick them up. And so people at home that access Zoom in the webinar, which we already have a Zoom license, would then be able to hear and see what is happening in these meetings. And I will say, a huge improvement over that little recording device that nobody can hear anything anyway when they do post it on our website. So what I'm thinking is with this kind of trial that we will be, then be able to have the ability that people from home can at least listen in. I believe the webinar gives you the ability if there's a chat, they can post something in the chat. If it's, you know, public comment type thing, they can post something in the chat so we can address.
Yeah, you said the organizer can mute everybody and allow people access. It's, at a certain point in the meeting, not just as people interrupting. I'm just saying that the organizer has control over.
Yeah. Well, they have the control over the whole meeting,
yeah.
But keep in mind also that we're not going to allow people to speak.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You can block.
Yeah, well, in a webinar, they're blocked. Yeah, they're blocked anyway.
How are we going to control somebody hacking into it? Do showing or saying stuff or posting?
Well, that's what we're saying. You won't see them. They're not going to be shown anywhere. It's like,
no, you're talking about somebody hacking into the system and being able
like
to show things that are not appropriate.
I think that was because it was public and people could do it at that time. I don't think it was a webinar. And if it was, it was something that was at the very beginning stages of Zoom when a lot of that was happening.
This just happened last year in the school district.
Yeah,
but was it through a webinar
yes.
type setting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I
know the towns are doing it, so yeah. There's got to be something there, either that they've done on Zoom in, and maybe it's a good point. Maybe this is something we bring up with Keith. To see if that's.
It is nice, and when you do the Zoom and you have it webinar, you can move people from being kind of like a Zoom over to like a panel, and they could speak if we needed that. But
yes,
I
would have.
I think it would be. I think we have a lot of people who would be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I think if we could talk with Keith about like what would be the protections to keep somebody from hacking in, showing inappropriate things.
Okay. Can you follow up Trita with Keith on
sure.
that?
Sure.
Well, we wanted to try it tonight
right.
just to see.
Nobody's been invited. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah,
just,
no, the owls are great.
We just wanted to try this out.
What's the cost of this?
This is $16 for one user. I could be wrong. I think it's like $16. And that's all we need is just one user. And
we already have an account, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's being paid through by the court
addressed.
YouTube is zero. And Zoom costs.
They can get a lot of people tying in from the app. They don't want to like
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good for people to hear and see what's going on, but if they want to present, then I think they need to be present, right? That, at this point in time, anyway, maybe in the future, but you know, 20 years from now, whatever.
But if they just want to log on and observe.
But I think there's a lot of people who like to hear what's going on, but there's not room sometimes for them to be in present. So I like the idea.
I would even pursue the avenue of not allowing comments.
Yeah, not even type comments
for
us.
Communicating or disagreeing. Or
right. For now, I'd start off as just observation.
Yeah.
And then these would be posted on YouTube.
Sure. For review later. Yeah. That's a great idea. I think it's a good idea. Yeah. Helps provide the public.
So we can move that once we understand what Keith says. Maybe in our next town council meeting, we put it on as a action item to approve utilizing that if there's no issues with security. All right. Standardized templates for the state public notice website. One of the things that on our one-on-ones I've talked to Shrita about is really kind of setting a standard for our public notices, our meeting minutes, our agendas, all of that. And so she has spent some time, I reviewed this. I don't know if you guys have all had a chance to review it, just so that we're standardizing. The next thing I want to standardize is the naming conventions that we utilize on our website for these meetings so that anybody can find them, and it's the same naming every single time. So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to go through those templates, give her any feedback that you have. I know I've given her feedback on them, so that we can kind of make this maybe an action item for next town council that we approve those templates going forward. And then that means at least anybody, you know, 10 years down the road that they keep the same format.
I haven't reviewed it, and I will. I'll give some feedback after doing so.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks. September Day of Service. This is coming on the 13th?
19th.
19th? Okay, the 19th is our September Day of Service. I know Karen's been getting a lot of people calling her about ideas that they have. I kind of pinged Cheryl earlier to say, have we been thinking about this, and threw out an idea or two for her. But really, I'm kind of thinking, and I could be wrong, Cheryl, that this falls kind of in your area. Is that kind of what you're thinking or not? You can totally say, I am sick and tired of LBD and all that's gone on. I am not doing this one too.
The week after LBD, I'm checking out for this week. There's a lot of different things. That's the thing. There's a lot of different projects. I know James Park has projects. Marcus just left. Marcus gave me a list of things that he could use some help with at Main Street Park, the cemetery. There's always going to be projects. And at the same time, I like your idea. Like, there's people here, our residents, or some of them that do need some help.
I'm thinking off the top of my head, as I drive by her house almost every day, is Margaret Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's 9 years old.
I'm totally open to ideas, because I know there's people that have reached out to Tammy who want to get a bunch of stuff done over at Games Park.
And even the stake, I think, is doing something too. I don't know if
we want to hear. The stake.
Yeah, we got this is where it's hard to separate church and stake, right? But the church sent out an email, and by 4, we all got assigned. So each of the 4 boards had an area that they kind of got assigned, certainly working with, you know, people in their ward boundaries that they need help with, Margaret. So I don't know if that's going to communicate to the town and how we coordinate that, but that's probably.
specifically what they wanted to do?
There was no details on what. So that's probably why they're reaching out.
Okay. Yeah, can they know, tell me that she and several people reaching out when, what's the plan for that day? And she has some projects and some things that she definitely could use some help with on that day. But Marcus has some great things here at Main Street Park that could be done as well.
Well, in the past, we've divided and conquered. I mean, we've taken the group, we meet them in one place, and then we divide, and they go to different places.
What are they thinking for the reservoir?
The trash.
Trash cleanup. Okay. Well, we're going to be meeting this coming week, so with the press committee.
If we can finalize on something that we can put into the newsletter, because the newsletter I will be starting to put together next. Yeah, I'll probably start on it Monday because we need to have it done. I need to have it done before the end of the week. It usually takes me a couple days to.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Pavilion painting up here was one of those.
Yeah, and that was when the market had said, and then there was something else.
So the reservoir and the Dames Park and this park, and then one of the other wards has a project already decided on, but I didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, Marcus has like orange on paint, throwing road base under the trail, paint flat pole, trim on hall, I'm not sure what that is. Cemetery really needs a road base put on roads too. The hut that encloses cemetery map needs new plexiglass and rainbow. Some headstones are leaning pretty badly. I plan on being at the cemetery for the beginning. So there's stuff, the cemetery just stuff here and Main Street just stuff. But we definitely could divide and conquer.
Okay. Well, if we can finalize, I would say maybe keep it to about four.
Yeah.
The other is, in the past, Karen has reached out to Niagara for some water.
I think we have a bunch of leftover water, to be honest, in the...
Check and see, because we can always ping them for
some more
free water, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think was it last time that we did, like, a get-together for a... treat or lunch or something. I don't know.
Would it benefit us to, when we put it in the newsletter, Mayor, to invite people to sign up for what they'd like to do? If we have the four things selected, I'd like to go paint. So I want to, instead of kind of showing up and I got to go pick up trash, I'd rather paint. I mean,
okay.
We could allow them to say, this is where I'd like to go. You can see where your volume of people are. That might help.
Well, I can state in the letter that that's available. They would probably need to, I don't think they could sign up on the website. Because I can't, I mean, when I put in the newsletter, I don't know where they sign up at.
Yeah, I don't know. Just a thought I had, right?
I like the idea. If we had the ability on the website to say, go sign up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
No, there is a link to have people sign up. And I'm going to remember what that's called in a second. Amy would know.
Oh, you mean from a...
To sign up, like, if we told her, like, go there. Sign up to...
Oh, okay.
I'll look at that and see if that's possible.
Okay, or a QR code or something where they go somewhere and just say, this is my name's going here. I don't know, and then that also tells you, you know, hey, this is how much water we might need or how much, you know, and you take that plus 25% and you don't have this, you know, 5,000 bottles of water hanging around because you were sure you were going to be short. Okay. Just some thoughts. So.
All right. Well, next year we may use that 5,000 bottles to just fill our tanks.
Yeah.
If we don't get a good one.
Remember that.
All right. Next one is Lee Larson. Bless his heart. Met with him. And the irrigation board... he would really, really, really like to, Marcus left, this is his ideal thing, is to, there's a water irrigation line that goes from Terry's house all the way across to his
and he wants to dig that all up because he's convinced that that pipe is bad and eroded. I told him there was no way we were going to do that. We would have to tear up the Bowery, out the Bowery, the cement, and all the rest of that stuff.
I told him the same thing.
And Marcus, you guys may or may not have noticed that you signed for a camera from, was it Grover's?
Excavation. Yeah.
So he purchased a camera, it was like $350, and had Grover's sculpt that line. There's nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
So I told them to take, hopefully they took pictures, and they can take those to Lee. The one thing that I told them that we would do is we would bring this up in city council, but another proposal was he gets flooded out when the irrigation gets just continually run down that way, and someone keeps moving that head gate up there that he claims is flooding him out. And it was Don Wallentine that was in this meeting with us. He proposed is there is a gate right over here that it would be better to dig a line from there across to that ditch right before you get to the reservoir that then goes into the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, which would be a cost incurred by both the city and by the irrigation company. They were saying that they could fund for part of that, but they couldn't afford to fund for all of it, and that we would have to use like our backhoe to dig a trench, and that Don was going to talk to Brigham about releasing the water into that ditch over there. So I said I would bring it up with the town council, let them know, but I said really it boils down to cost.
So the purpose of doing all of that is because somebody is opening up the gate and it's letting...
We talked about putting locks on the gate. He claims, again, this has been going on for years, but he claims that his basement is getting flooded. If you talk to Terry, Terry and him were good friends when they were little, and that house has always been flooded. And it's the same thing with the town hall. We always get flooded in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned it's groundwater, and water moves, and there's no guarantee that even if we did this, that it would solve it. To his thinking, this would solve it. We can kill that right off the bat by the pictures that Marcus took.
Mm-hmm.
So they just want to bypass the irrigation water instead of going down through his property. It goes out to that.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we're not running the irrigation, it just goes across the street.
Right.
What is his neighbor going to think about that?
His neighbor, okay, so Chris Jensen. See, cousin of yours?
No.
Oh. he claims, again, this is all hearsay, that he takes the water. He does not have shares.
That's right.
And
because it comes by, he takes it.
Yeah, because it's there, he takes it.
That's right.
The neighbor that's in the old store, milk, whatever, Becky's place, claims, again, if you talk to, it's all hearsay, she gets flooded dramatically every time he
waters. Every time Lee waters, his neighbor gets
and
flooded.
And he's claiming that she's going to vouch that it's not him, that it's this whole
setup. She doesn't know.
No. So nobody really knows, but I can shut this down pretty quick thanks to Marcus and the scope. But I also said I will bring it up with town council. Let them know what we're looking at, but Don, we need costs before we could even think to move forward, and really right now I don't know that there's really much we can do.
So I feel for Jensen, but I don't see where the town is responsible.
No, the town is not responsible.
The irrigation company and him.
And I don't know that that Don has disagreed with that, but I'm also knowing that he's saying we don't have the
funds. Don was just looking for some help, I'm sure.
He doesn't have, they don't have the funds, and he's willing to help the guy out, but we would have to, it would have to be a give and take. But I told them we would need to get anything, if we decided anything, it would need to be in writing, and they would have to sign that we're done. If we do something, whatever that is, it would need to be in writing, and at that point, we are done.
So I think that's wise counsel, but I would lean to say that sharing of the cost of that should be Jensen and the irrigation company.
And maybe that's what we do. But
if the line was bad across the property here, then maybe we would do something about it. But
because it's not even on.
Did I say Jensen? I think it's Larson.
Yeah, it's Larson. Yeah. I knew
it's
who
you Larson.
Meant.
Sorry.
Okay.
I was,
no, you're fine. I was just like,
I thought it was Jensen. Yeah, Lee Larson. Sorry.
So I've done my part. I've brought it up to you guys, made you aware of it. Mm-hmm. We really need to look at what the cost is. We're going to have another meeting, but I've told them this needs to be done. We've done from a city perspective, we've done everything we're going to do, including removing branches out of their lines. And then, by the way, Marcus said they're growing back in again. So it's like we they're trees. It's their trees. They need to get rid of those trees as part of that cleanup effort. So I've done my part. Now you guys know. All right, State Park meeting update. I did talk to State Parks today, asked them what their plan was, if we could put an agenda together. The goal still then is Saturday from 10 until 2, 1 hour sessions. What they will be doing is kind of more working sessions. So they're going to put stations up throughout the pavilion up in Maple Springs. Those stations will have people manning them, and it will be a collaborative. There'll be diagrams and things for them to look at. Each station will have a topic area to talk to the people at the state about. They want to get the input. They want it to be a collaboration with input and even hearing some of the complaints that might come up. I've asked Midkiff to help to maintain order, so that if it does get out of hand, we can kind of handle it, which I'm hoping is not going to be the case. I will specify that this is for Manaway residents only, because I'm hearing Brigham wants to come up and other people that utilize the reservoir, but this is not the purpose for that, that they would need to go to their town councils and address it with them. Well, they can go around to and listen and all the rest of that stuff, but they will not be able to take the survey.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
The survey we will need to verify by their name and address, and that's the only thing it's going to be used for, is to make sure that they are town residents, 18 or older, that takes the survey.
Right.
So their input is not going to be utilized, although the state will have in those areas little, and I've used these
comment
for facilitation
boxes.
Purposes, no, they'll have comment boxes, but they will have dots for voting dots, I guess, if you will, on the areas that they're most concerned with or the areas that they liked the best or whatever. So they're going to get the input from people when they go around to the different stations, but that is not what is that is not what's going to gauge whether or not Manaway wants the reservoir. That will be only for them to know, okay, well, they really liked what they saw with regards to having a open area for whatever. I don't know, whatever they have as ideas.
So is the state coming with a plan and the residents are commenting on their plan? Or are the residents going to propose a plan and then they're open to change?
Yes, both.
So they are going to come and say, this is what we want.
Something,
there's an idea
that they want the residents to get feedback on.
Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, and I've asked.
So none of us have seen it?
None of us have seen it.
Okay.
When did they plan on being there?
Oh, we will not see it before Saturday.
Is this idea slash plan, I think it's more of an idea, has it been in conjunction with Brim City, or are they doing it on their own?
I do not know.
Okay.
I do know that he did ask about Brigham coming up and being there to address any of the residents from Brigham, and Mayor Boss said no, they're not going to do that.
Good.
So will there be a Brigham representative? I've invited them. They have never responded to who will, if they will be there or who would be there.
When do they plan on getting there to set up? And can we be there a little early so they can actually let us know?
Well, I'm actually hoping this is the rest of us. So I've ordered, I talked to Shrita and Angela. We've ordered sandwiches, drinks, fruit for the people that are going to be there for the full 4 hours. I need help getting that set up and put in place. I've asked Marcus to put up a canopy for the people that are going to be there for that whole time, because we're going to have Tom Peterson's going to be there. Mm-hmm. About five or six state representatives. I asked Shrita if the whole town council could veto all of it, or if we have to limit. So we don't have a full quorum there. Her response is we have to limit it. We can't have the whole town council there for the session, so we may want to rotate through a session who wants to be there.
I will be there. I'm out of town. So
okay. All right. I see nothing. You can be there all day. You can be there all day. I'll be there all day. Oh, wait. That's three. That's a quorum.
Wait. You posted it as a public meeting.
That's what I thought.
It's a public meeting, and I think as long as we're not conversing with each other.
Was it a public notice?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're fine.
So if it was a public notice, then it should be okay, right?
Yeah, sure.
I
don't know. I don't know if I'm out of line in asking this, but I'm very curious with the council here. With what we know today, how many of you are in favor of this state park?
You know where I'm at is I'm going with whatever the city wants to do. Because I can see pros and cons.
The question is,
I'm against it.
I'm against it unless there's some benefit to
unless there's something I haven't seen.
They want to modernize the reservoir, if they want to take care of the current challenges they have with the algae.
Well, I'm saying right now, seriously, we can't use the reservoir now as it is.
Right.
I mean, it's
what's the reasoning for not?
Why are we against it?
My worry is the impact on the community, the quiet community we have. I think it becomes more commercial, more traffic, more residential.
And that's what Echo said. No, that they didn't
experience more.
They said actually it didn't affect it at all.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of people, their frustration is they don't know what it's going to be. I mean, how many people are they expecting? The whole blocking it off and having to buy a $30 a year state park pass, so what? Well, I'll pay $30 and then I can go use the trails and ride my mountain bike. Is that all it's going to be? Is I have to have a state park pass? What are they going to do with the reservoir? Are they going to bring in an RV park? Because that changes people's perspective on what they're going to do. I don't think they can do an RV park without our zoning. And we're not going to allow that inside our city limits. So I don't think the state can just do whatever they want. So I've had a lot. So I'm borderline depending on certainly what the residents want, but the residents don't know. One map we saw, some people have been asking me, what does it mean that the state park goes right through the middle of the reservoir? Half of it's state park and half of it's Brigham. What does that mean? And so until we get those answers, but if it's, hey, they're going to come in and clean it up and make it, but if it's going to be a huge RV park or they're going to bring a gas station in, then people are not in for it, right? So I'm anxious to see what the plan is, because people are frustrated with the reservoir now anyway. It doesn't do us any good.
Right.
What good is it to any of us? We can't use it.
Right. But I will say, from what I've seen and what I've talked to residents, those that are against it are completely against it. That's why I didn't want the survey to go out any sooner than after this presentation, because I really want them to come and come with somewhat of an open mind, and then take the survey. But those that are like borderline, it's they're like, I'm willing to listen. I want to hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, good. That's actually what I would prefer is people to come with that attitude of, yeah. Okay, let's see what there is. What do you have to offer? But I will be honest with you. When I asked them in the beginning, and I think I've mentioned this before, what city is similar to Manaway where there is a body of water in the middle of their town, and they couldn't come up with anything. When I was in Green River, Utah, for the San Rafael ride that we did, guess what's in the middle of Green River? A state park. Mm-hmm. They've got a body of water. I went back there. Nobody's there. No one's there. This is a weekend. No one is there. They're about the same size, as I would say, as Manaway. I didn't look it up, but they're about the same size as Manaway. There are so many. KSL did a spiel on state parks. There are so many state parks that no one even knows about. Mm-hmm.
There was nobody at Echo, really.
No, there just wasn't. Well, that was also in February.
Yeah, that's what I think needs to be known is, what are they expecting? What benefits to the town? Right? Is the state willing to, you know, help fund, you know, police control or, you know, law enforcement? Are they? I mean, what's the state? What are they going to help with? So the people I've talked to, they just need to know more. I mean, mm-hmm. Because there's, I mean, if there's no RV park and it's simply just the water, there's not going to be a lot of people coming to it.
Mm-hmm. The state's when
you can only get 10 boats on there and you're overloaded. So state law is not even going to let them put 100 boats out there. So
well, the state plan that they stated and going into policing of the state park will be Willow Bay.
They did also state.
Oh, they were going to staff.
Yeah, they yeah. Running. Yeah, Willow Bay will be running the state park.
Yeah, their folks would be coming.
Now, keep in mind, and this is something that Hank brought up, and I wanted to make sure, so I emailed the state again on this one, that even though it's so small, we will get tax revenue and fee revenue to Manaway. Brigham does not get it.
Correct. Yeah, they have mentioned that before. And yeah. I think when they started breaking it down, it's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
I'm glad they put that right, because that's not what I heard of Colville. Colville mayor was there. I know that is outside of Colville, but mm-hmm. The discussion then was there wouldn't be revenues.
So, Mayor, you said something that sparked a thought and a question. Why does the state of Utah want to make this a park? What benefit do they have? Why are they? Is this just another project they want to do? Because if we got state parks that people don't know about and aren't using, why do we need another one?
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Well,
I don't know.
Heard, I didn't get directly from.
Can we ask that question?
We can ask them. Saturday. We can ask them on Saturday.
Can we ask that question? What does the state want
to
do?
What is the benefit to the state? I think, you know, like Kate was saying, you've heard that enough, so that you say it.
Well, Brigham City approached the state about making this state park to offset the top flow of the money that they have to spend every year to maintain it.
To benefits Brigham, but what's the benefit to state of Utah?
Brigham doesn't care.
Yeah,
because the
state's
the ones that are having
to
come in.
No, they get the benefit.
I see one beneficiary at this point, unless the state takes the reservoir over and then clean it up and make it a nicer facility. But like Matt, you just said, only 10 people can get on it, right? You can't put 50 boats on it. So you're going to clean it up for people that can't even get on it, basically, so to speak. So it's just kind of a...
And I did ask when we were at Echo, and I think I mentioned this as well before, KSL that morning had announced that Gooseberry had declined. And I did ask at Echo, has there been any proposals for a state park where the community said, no, we don't want it? And the response was no, he couldn't think of anyone. Because everything was positive at that point. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what about Gooseberry? And I could tell I caught him off guard. I don't think he knew about it.
No, I don't think he did.
And at that point, he said, no, that's still in talks, but it was a done deal. they turned it down. Mm-hmm. So there is a record of being turned down.
So yeah, I think it would be interesting to see.
So what I'm saying is I could use some help. They are coming. State said they would be there between 8 and 9.
I can be
need some help with somebody being there. I can go down and get the food. I'm going to see if Marcus tomorrow can set up the canopy and the chairs that we need. I'll get the cooler. Who offered the cooler? And I'll get some ice from camp, along with the sandwiches that have been ordered, the fruit trays, the chips. I'll get all of that stuff. If somebody can be up here ready for the state when they show up, because I don't know that I will be.
Are they coming here or are they going
straight
to me?
They're
going
to go to
Matt. I can meet whoever. I'll be up dealing with my chicken.
So again, any time between 8 and 9, he says he probably plans to pick up Willard, the guy at Willard Bay.
Okay. Do they need anything or are they bringing?
No, they're actually bringing treats and drinks for the residents.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay. But they're bringing everything that they need.
They're bringing everything. They said they'll bring easels.
So
they said if it's a windy day that they'll have it on the tables. But other than that, they're bringing
everything. I'm just planning on spending the day. I'll just get there a little early.
Okay. All right. All right, we'll move on. Planning and zoning. Pam, anything you need to bring up? thank you. Marcus left, so there we go. Follow-up items for September. You've got...
She does have something.
Oh, you do have something?
Josh Parker never showed up to our meeting. Residents never showed up. I think there were two people that were forwarded to our meeting from yours, so we'll make sure people must have gotten communicated very well.
Okay.
And then we did have a variance that we did approve subject to them knowing that it was to build the accessory building into a useless easement that was just not on a flat map just because. Oh. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So
Where's that at?
It's in Maple Springs. So what happened is in the Maple Springs phases, they just did some borderline utility easements on the perimeter lots, which, you know, all the interior lots don't have those same easements.
Utility.
They just did it on the outside. And I talked to Gardner Engineering about it and said they were told to do that by our lovely town engineer. And so it's, with doing research, it's a useless easement. So we gave them a variance to go ahead and build 5 feet off the property lines and put his zoning 5 feet into the easement. And I'm putting together a document that he'll have to sign that acknowledges if there's any utility work in that easement for drainage issues, and it has to be built for any work that's going to be done that's going to compromise his building, he will be 100% responsible.
Now, did he write you the letter?
I didn't like his letter. I wrote all the documents together. It'll go on record at the county courthouse.
Because
both owners should sign it, unless I would get his wife off it. So.
Anyway, he just committed to writing you a letter.
Yeah,
so.
We need to make sure. Sometimes those easements are just put in place for future. If the town grows or the town needs to do something, and
it's not one of those.
The town would never, ever in the future need to run a power line or a water line or an air meter or anything through that easement?
No.
I'd be curious to see where it is on that.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Just a real quick question. That guy behind me and Jan Arrington, he put a utility pole there. Did he go through you guys to get that utility pole put there?
No, but he wouldn't. That's more town stuff. That's a utility thing.
Okay. All right. I didn't know.
I'm guessing when
they talked about this. I'm worried because he's left his trailer and his backhoe and everything there, and it's been there for like 2 months, and I've not seen hide nor hair of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his 80s, and he's doing this all by himself, so I'm a little worried about him.
Do we need to send a
I'm wondering if I need to do a wellness check. I haven't looked in the trailer, but his truck's not there, so that's another sign. But the fact that he's not come back, okay. All right. Anything else, Pam?
No, that's it.
Thanks. Follow-up items for September?
Just the Zoom.
The Zoom, and but we had some other ones.
Naming convention for the public notice website.
Yes. We got the things that we've put on hold. Anyway, so we've got a couple things that we moved to our September town council. But
yeah, it was Micah Jepson.
Yeah, but I'm going to send him to planning and zoning.
Okay.
So, Micah Jepson for that Thurgood Road.
Oh.
And do you want him to come back to planning? Not planning.
Well, let's find out what they say before he decides to come back. But I will reach out to him and let him know.
Okay. All right. That's all
right. Okay. And right now, I just need a motion for adjournment of our meeting.
Make a motion to adjourn the council meeting.
I second.
August
20th.
I second.
20th. And he seconds it. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? No? All right. Thank you very much.
We're getting so close to an hour.